Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and this is one of our News and Q's episodes. The Q stands for questions, and the news stands for news. Maybe someday we'll claim the opposite, just to be wild and get everybody, make sure they're paying attention at the start of the podcast. The Q stands for news.
Mm-hmm. It's the Q's and blues. It's the blues crew. What? Catch up. Okay. News and Q's it is.
But we got a fun, we've got some fun questions and a lot of news.
We do have a lot of news. Yeah, a lot of news. So we're going to try to focus on that here. It's going to be great. And we got some wonderful questions. Questions that made me bring out the old pen and write down some options. You know, I love that. Before we get to all of that here on Four Center number 347, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, as always, we'll have our Four Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. And then we have this offer for all of you, Joseph. Yes.
That is right. We have an offer from Inside Editions. They publish a ton of great Star Wars books and a bunch of other pop culture books as well. They are offering 35% off across their website with a special Four Center code. To get your discount, you can enter the coupon code FC35, or you can visit the website with this link, insighteditions.com/discount/FC35. This week, we are recommending the Insight Editions book, Secrets of the Jedi. There are a ton of great secrets in that book, in my opinion. You can go see if you agree with me by checking it out with the code FC35.
Check it out, indeed. Now, I've been waiting to say this because I find the book finally came. There was a little bit of an order mix-up, but I didn't want to sound like it was bad on Inside Editions. But I myself use this code, Joseph, and ordered the book, and it is The Photography of Game of Thrones, and it showed up, and it is, wow, it's amazing. It's a giant, nearly 500-page book. It's so big, it has like one of those like built-in bookmarks in the book. Beautiful photography from the show, behind-the-scenes stuff. So we always highlight a great book like Secrets of the Jedi, but if you're a Game of Thrones fan, check out this book and other things on there. Can't recommend it enough. See, we're not just peddling codes, we actually are customers, and we love these.
Yes, yeah, so was that the old male pattern baldness commercial, or was it Men's Warehouse? I can't remember.
Size barely, not just as much as a president. I'm a customer.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we're not just advertising this on our podcast. We're ordering from it. That's awesome.
That's right. That's right. So check that all out. We always like to catch up on Star Wars and or life adventures. Joseph, any valuable lessons from that galaxy far, far away applied to your daily life?
I'm sure there were, but I don't remember what they were. Apparently, just let it go. I guess I listened to that one. Let it go. No, it was a good week. It was a really busy week. Lots of stuff going on life-wise, career-wise. It was definitely one of those weeks where all I could do is keep up with the week for the most part. And the only real Star Wars adventure I had was an adventure of temptation that, spoiler, I gave into. I was at Target, and I looked at the toy aisle, and the Target toy aisles for Star Wars are just, they're just sad these days. I think they're not being stocked well, and when they are, almost everything is immediately purchased, right? Every once in a while, you can still see a Jar Jar or a Grief Karga, which breaks my heart that Grief is not moving as fast as he should. But yeah, there's almost always just totally empty of any actual action figures. And I had it in my head today, that day, I had to buy, you know, just a bunch of boring adult life crap at Target. And I even had it on my list of like, check the figures. And I was like, I want to buy something fun. And then I went in the book aisle, and I had forgot there is the Target exclusive version of Rising Storm. And I love that book, but the cover is just like, man, I have literal piles of Star Wars books at this time. I don't need another one, but I want another one. So I had to get it. I am leaning over here to grab it so I can describe it. I'm sure many people have seen it, but it's a bunch of our favorite Jedi, Ken, with the lightsabers up and real big right in the center, Ember the Charhound.
Nice.
I had to have it. It's got Elzar Man there. It's got Stellan Geos, Bel Zedifar, Indira Stokes, and then Ember the Charhound. I saw it in Target and just like, I want to be able to look at these Jedi friends. So I bought it. That was my big adventure.
It's a good one to display. Put it up on a shelf, facing out with a light on it.
Exactly. And for a long time, I've had Light of the Jedi facing out. So Light of the Jedi might get bumped for the Rising Storm.
There you go. Yeah, that's a good sign, though, for the High Republic. If each book you want to kind of put on a shelf and replace the one you're displaying before, it's only getting bigger and better.
Yeah, no, and they're doing a great job with the various exclusives and send away for this. But like, that's actually kind of a part of the fun, is that people are so loving the High Republic, and they put out the drawings of what the characters look like, so you can kind of look it up. But it is right now much more of a written word, spoken word, and audiobooks Star Wars story. So there is this like hunger to be like, but I want to look at them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely is. It's a unique experience because across multiple platforms, usually it's my own imagination about what Porter Ingle looks like. But now I know.
And I was thrilled by that. He looked different than I imagined.
He did. And he did. But I like where they land.
Yeah, but I want a big old, make that poster available. I want those to be print to order posters so I can put up a big poster of the Blade of Bardotta.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah, so that was my adventure. How about you?
You know, similar week for me, just one of those, you just kind of you know, wading in the deep end, trying to stay afloat. Nothing bad, nothing great. Just one of those things. We did have a fun experience recording yesterday all in person for the 1000th episode of Force Center Overall. That's coming next week. We're so excited. And we're going to announce ways to get your hands on a commemorative poster as we just kind of pause for a moment on that special number, but move right on the Star Wars galaxy. We know our place in it. We're here to talk about Star Wars. But it was a fun experience. That was kind of fun getting prepped for that and just kind of looking back on what Star Wars, we always look back and look and analyze what Star Wars means to us, but just look back in through the eyes of the podcast and the experience of doing Force Center. That itself was pretty fun, Joseph.
Yeah, no, that was a highlight of the week, absolutely, and I don't want to give any spoilers for the stuff we talk about, but it was just it was a great conversation. It was so great to see everybody.
Yeah, that's coming next week. And the other thing, occasionally if something pops up on YouTube, I'll recommend it or talk about it. There's something I just stumbled. I don't know how new the channel is. It's been around a bit, I guess, but they only got 6 videos up, and I'm always wary about recommending YouTube channels. I often don't know who's behind them and what they do and whatnot. But if I enjoy the content, I love to highlight it. There's a channel called So Uncivilized, and they have, like I said, about 6 videos out. And it's just, it's good video essays that dive into things that I think are close to even our Force Center heart and our Force Center listeners' hearts. Titles like The Importance of Luke Skywalker, A Different Kind of Hero, How Empire Changed Star Wars Forever, The Perfect Storytelling Clarity of Star Wars, Why Palpatine is the Greatest Movie Villain of All Time. That was released a year ago, and that's got some good views, which it means Palpatine's got some fans. Just people want to find out. Good stuff. And the one I watched this morning of George Lucas, King of Wooden Dialogue, which goes into why that's important and why that's a choice George makes and why that works in some ways. And it's just really interesting stuff in a era and also a format, YouTube, where so often it is the popular videos go the other way. I just want to recommend a channel that's spreading the not just positivity about Star Wars, but actually looking in and analyzing why we love it so much, which is something that's close to our hearts here. So check it out. So Uncivilized.
Oh, that sounds great. I am thrilled to hear that you discovered some other Star Wars talking you're excited to engage with.
Yeah, and it's just fun. Like I said, again, it's just an era of people pounding their fists on desks. Nice to see someone take some time and analyze why we all connect to this wonderful Star Wars galaxy.
Yeah, no, and a couple of those videos, the Palpatine being the greatest villain and an analysis of what does wooden dialogue really mean. Man, that is so up my Star Wars alley. I will have to check this out.
Check it out, indeed. No code, just check it out. So that's a quick swing through our Star Wars and life adventures. Now it's time for the news. And as we said up top, a lot of news. A lot of not direct who's cast in Rogue Squadron type of news, but fun stuff in the Star Wars galaxy. So let's dive on in here. Save your allowance money, or as I accidentally put in the notes, safe your allowance money, which is kind of the same thing. It's time to go on a cruise. That's right. The Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser Adventure is about to set sail. And here are the prices. For 2 people, it's $4,809. I don't know if that includes taxes. 3 guests, it's $5,299. For 4 people, $5,999, not $6,000. So before we analyze that, Joseph, I want to let you know, here's what you get. Here's what you get. A 2-night stay for an ongoing immersive vacation where your actions determine your experiences. Food and beverages, which is, that's a lot. That's pretty good. A mission to Disney's Hollywood Studios out there in Florida for a trip to Galaxy's Edge. An exclusive data band. And now it's, that data band, I think you can now use that at the park. That's important to your experience there as well. So, all right. So, Joseph, it's easy to make some jokes about the pricing, and I'm sure we will. But this covers quite a bit. So let's start here. Will this be worth it for you if you choose to do it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the prices are, you have to go through this is a free ride. Put it that way. I have to go through an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
As I saw many fans did when I see the prices for what this thing is. It's not surprising because it is. Yeah. It's access to this really exclusive, this really specific event. It's kind of a cruise.
Yeah.
Where you're, it's a narrative cruise where you believe you have left, but you haven't, right?
Yeah.
But I see that as one of the daily events is a muster like you do on an actual cruise. So they're really taking it seriously. So yeah, I think I have that immediate knee jerk reaction of, it is hard to see something that has such a financial roadblock to all fans experiencing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when a Star Wars thing gets announced, it's fun because like, ooh, we can all experience that and we can all discuss it. And when you something like this really drives home of like, yeah, no, not everybody is going to be able to or want to experience that.
Yeah.
I got to get past that. But then for myself, if and when I have that money, it is worth it because of the history of Disney giving these kind of experiences, doing a good job with them and making it feel magical.
Yeah, no, you're hitting it right nail on the head, I guess. Spanner on the space nail, whatever. Because yeah, we talked about this when this was kind of announced. You and I aren't necessarily cruise people ourselves. You've been on cruise. I've never wanted to, had the desire to. That's not a comment on cruises. I'm just like, I don't know. I'll stay on the ground. I'll stay on the land. I know you've been on some cruises before as a performer and those kind of things. So I get that they might be fun, but I start from that point of, but then, yeah, you look at the prices and everything you're saying. It's not unlike even Galaxy's Edge. You know, we're fortunate to be, I think, so close to Anaheim to do it. But even then, that's an allowance money situation too. And I know what you mean, where it's like, This is for the few and not the many, and which is fine. That's how life works sometimes. But yeah, that just means my excitement is a little less for it, because right now I am the many, not part of the few that we get to go to this.
Yeah, especially, you know, so this one is just in Florida, right? This is Walt Disney World right now. Yeah. So the flight there, then the staying there, like, man, those cocktails better be good. Those space cocktails, put it that way.
I don't know. Yeah. That's part of it too, the idea of, you know, the cost is a lot, but you're getting a lot out of it.
You're getting
stuff, you know, if you're flying your family to, Florida, you know, that just even to go to Disneyland or Disney World out there, that's going to be a pretty penny too. So I guess maybe you break it down, it's okay.
Yeah. I think for me, and I think maybe this goes a little bit towards one of your other great questions here, so I don't mean to jump the gun, but yeah. I think for me, when I see that, I just have sticker shock. But then I think about my actual experiences at Disneyland and Galaxy's Edge in particular, and that's where I go to that magic of like, the money's real, it's important, it should be discussed, budgeted, all those things. But like when I made my lightsaber, I was not going, now, it costs exactly that much, this much. Did I just have that much joy? The immersion is so successful that it outweighs the constant reminder of the money for the personal experience. That's the endless stories of people saying like, yeah, no, I can list for you the different ways that Disneyland is trying to extract money from my person.
Yeah.
But people's magical experience often just clearly just makes you forget that part, or makes you okay with that part, because you feel like you've gone to a different place and had a fantasy experience.
Yeah, no, that's actually, you know, you're right. This represents two sides of the fun, imagination, and then a giant company using their purchase IP very well. and that's just the way of it. And I think I'd be way more cynical about this resort experience than if I hadn't experienced Galaxy's Edge for myself and being fortunate enough to go there once on a very rainy day. So I can't wait to see it in the sun. but yeah, because I still think about that and it still blows my mind. I still have conversations with people about that. So it's easy to be cynical. It's easy to look at the price tag. And we should, like you said, I totally think you're right. That should be something we look at. But I know that I'm sure it will be a home run if you get there and you get to experience it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, in terms of just being a Star Wars fan, I always try to remember like, yeah, Star Wars is this beautiful storytelling with this amazing soul. But, you know, I've even done a joke in stand up of like, it's not a nonprofit George Lucas formed in the mid 70s. Yeah. it has always been I think Lucas came from it from a perspective of, I want to tell a story in the reality of our world. In order to be able to tell this story and share it with as many people as possible, it needs to be very profitable. And then the marketing explosion of the original films, it's just always been a part of what Star Wars is. It's always been a part of the duality of it, is this beautiful, soulful, meaningful storytelling that we get to talk about and hear other people's, how much it's meant to other people. But then along with it, it's the reality is always like, and yes, and it is to make money too. And those things are okay as long as it doesn't lose its soul.
And that's how we, I think we find the balance, right? Like you just checking everything, checking the soul, making sure the pulse is still beating there in Star Wars.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing for me, like, with this. Like, if it was a different company from Disney and was like, we've got some only okay cosplay of a droid and some guy with tentacles he clearly made at home, give us your money. Like, I just trust that this will be soulful. You will feel totally immersed. And that's what continues to make me feel okay about the reality that it's for money.
If you go stay in this cabin or suite here at this Star Cruiser Resort, and it's got some Star Wars curtains, and that's it, you're gonna walk away angry. And again, if I had any cynicism going, and I've been a Disneyland fan my whole life, I love going, and they always do that very well, where you don't even see, there's gum's not allowed in the park because they don't want you to step on gum. They want to keep that away from you. You know, like no planes can fly over Disneyland. They own the airspace. It's crazy. And that all leads to an experience where you're like, I'm transported. And Galaxy's Edge just, it struck a chord in my soul. So I'm there for it there as well, even though, some pockets get lined. Hey, there you go. What are you going to do?
Yep.
What are you going to do? All right. So, final question is, you head there, Joseph. You go out on this Galactic Star Cruiser. It says it's an ongoing immersive vacation where your actions determine your experience. What choices might you make? Not knowing the options yet.
I looked it up because I saw some people tweeting it, and I was like, is that real or is this a joke? But if you go to Disney World, if you just Google, I think, Galactic Star Cruiser itinerary, they have a sample itinerary up. And it's packed with events, and some of them sound like really great. But if you're going to do all those things, you'd just be like running from thing to thing. But the ones that sound exciting to me is, sabacc lessons, fun. Yeah. Lightsaber training, great. Droid racing competition, not exactly sure what that is. Build model ship, that sounds awesome. But then there's these unexpected story moments. Like one of them is, for example, you might prove your mettle to join an elite smuggling ring, hide a stowaway to help the resistance, ? And I'm just so curious to see, like, how immersive are they? Are those like just somebody comes around like, would you like to do this? Cool. Great. That cosplayer will come over and talk to you later. Or is it like, you're acting crap out. You got a fake, comm in your hand and you're giving orders. And like, I'm curious to see how immersive it is.
Cause again, I think if you're here, we're heading here for any reason. I think we're going to have fun for the experience, right? But when I heard that thing of ongoing immersive vacation where you actually determine your experiences, I'm like, well, I'm napping. So what is that going to mean? And what is that going to do? But again, I thought about it. Again, I can make the joke, but if you're there, you're there for this experience. And I think I'd get caught up. Now, I don't want to harbor an agent for the resistance. I don't want anyone in my room, right? So, some actor's going to be hidden in a closet for 2 days. I don't know. But I definitely would have fun with it.
Yeah, no, I'm really torn that same way that, like, a part of me is like, yeah, no, look at that. You could be doing something every second of the day, lightsaber training. Like, and I think if I went there, I would get excited and I'd want to do the lightsaber training. But a part of me is just like, there's that commercial where you're being cheersed by a Twi'lek. Like, I just want to sit in the bar and listen to band and drink with Twi'leks. That's what I want.
Yes.
For pretty much the entire time. I don't even know to need to get off in Batuu.
Yeah.
I'll just sit in the bar. And part of me wants to be like immersed that way of just being like, if the windows, there's, stars going outside the windows and it feels convincing, like I'm actually drinking on a ship in Star Wars. That's what I want.
That's what I want. Yeah. No, I think, that's kind of where, I would go to. And that, going back to Galaxy's Edge, like I said, I absolutely love that world. By necessity, you're kind of shuffled in and out of that cantina because you have to be. Otherwise, you know, you and I would park there all day. But that's part of the problem is I just want to park there all day.
Yeah. And I don't know if you can do that or if it's really like, great, you've had your 15 minutes in the bar. You've listened to the band play. Now it's time to, you know, go yell at a smuggling ring.
Yeah. But I'm sure it's a good experience. So look for that soon. Save up your Republic credits and head on out on the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruise adventure.
Yeah. I got one more question for you, Ken, though.
Yes, sir.
Do you think that cosplay by guests is going to be mandatory? Like, and would you be down with that? If you're like, in order to stay here, you got to choose a Jedi robe or this kind of smuggler outfit. But like, you can't just be wandering around in your shorts, flip flops and REM t-shirt, you know, that take people out of the experience.
Stand in the galaxy now. Yeah. I would love that. I'd be okay with that if it's simple, right? Sir, right. Do you want a Sith robe, Jedi robe or combat poncho? Okay, combat poncho it is.
Ponchos for everyone. That solves the problem. Okay, good. I just needed to picture it.
Absolutely. From there, we're going to go to news that we did discuss a little bit last week on the Bad Batch report, but it's our chance to discuss it in a little more detail here. As I'll say, expected, but there's some questions around that. Bad Batch rolls on. Season 2 of the Bad Batch was confirmed by Lucasfilm. They made it official on August 5th. The Bad Batch will get a second season sometime in 2022. So, Ken Joseph, while not a surprise, especially when you factor in the prep time needed for animated shows, they don't just spring up overnight. Do we feel this was ever in doubt? And maybe what could have jeopardized a second season?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, in retrospect, it was not jeopardized. This is feeling like a planned two-season order or maybe more. I think as the show went on, the nature of the storytelling just feels very assured that we're going to have time to... That it feels like lots of seeds are being planted, right?
Yeah.
And it feels like it is written as though there was knowledge of the second season from the very beginning to me. But you know, that said, you asked like what could have jeopardized a second season, what was ever in doubt. I feel like everything is in doubt right now.
Yeah.
With Hollywood and with streaming in particular, I think it's just in terms of if you're interested in the business end of this, like it's important to know that we just don't right now as industry insiders truly know what Disney Plus's standard is going to be for keeping something like this going. So there is to me this possibility that you know, Disney Plus ordered three seasons, period. Like, we need content, the trusted team with experience, go for it. But yeah, then something could have gone wrong enough to me for people to go, maybe we'll pull the plug because it's brand new.
Yeah.
Like what Disney Plus's expectations are of like, is it just we want to provide this many of episodes of any Star Wars content period per year, or is it this is not driving new subscribers, it's got to go, which is the way like Netflix is right now.
Yeah, you're right. And comparing it to Netflix, you kind of can. Netflix has proven to be a, you know, a different kind of strategy, a kind of a shotgun blast against the wall, and they're not afraid to sign a show and not afraid to cut a show, it seems.
Yep.
That's the way it kind of is. And every, you know, you have HBO Max making this great reach for IP and going deeper into Game of Thrones and what we can do there. Peacock, everything. You're right. It's still so early in this game, even though Netflix and others have been around for a few years now. And Disney, they're riding high on the hog a little bit, right? I mean, generally everything in the big worlds, the Marvel and Stars, has been well received or well covered and appreciated and talked about. The numbers are probably doing well. I don't have them in front of me. And the other shows, obviously, I'm not tuned into High School Musical stuff or things like that. But I know they just launched Turner and Hooch. I have a friend working on that, and I haven't heard any of the details on the process there. That, hey, does that not work? Are the quote-unquote ratings for Turner and Hooch down and season two doesn't come? I don't know, but it seems to me, be a little different with Star Wars animation. They know this. I think they feel this had to be a little bit of a long-term investment.
Yeah, that's my thought, especially after seeing the season two announced. I think it is season two has been being worked on. Yeah. I could be entirely wrong, but given the history of Star Wars animation, the length of shows and the Clone Wars experience of Lost, Revived, that right. I kind of think that they ordered it as a three or four season arc. And unless there's an absolute disaster of, you know, suddenly the second season is universally panned. Fans hate it. All, you know, any Star Wars thing is going to have fans questioning it. Unless something's just disastrously wrong, I think that it's just been ordered as this is the show.
Yes. Yes. And we talked about it on the episode last week of, I think you and I felt better knowing going into that 15th episode that, hey, this is coming back. So different other people were like, oh, it took out some of the tension from the episode. And, eat your own, I guess. But what do you feel about the announcement style of just kind of one season at a time? They're not saying it's back for three. They're just back for two. And they didn't. Same with Mando. Right. Same with Mando. It was like, we'll slowly in Book of Boba. We're still, you know, I think we're clearer, 99% clear. But like Book of Boba Fett, that's not Mando 3. Pedro Pascal said something about Mando, but he said they're not filming it. So they're kind of just piecing this information out. How do you feel about that?
I think that's fine. I think you need to keep the announcement coming to keep the hype up. I think that, you know, I could be totally wrong, but my idea of like the plan is this and it's ordered, but you know, they will pull the plug if they have to. Right. So I don't think anything would say like, we are for sure doing this many seasons, you know, especially this early in a new streaming service.
Yeah. And my final thought on it too, I don't think this is any great insight, but I just don't think they had internally. I can't imagine their expectations for Bad Batch were on the same level of Mando or Mando season two, where they're like, hey, this is animated. We know it's Clone Wars is popular and lauded by a lot of the fans, but it's not watched by everyone. I think maybe the numbers, the expectations might have been a little different. Again, I don't know. I don't have a memo on my desk about it. but it just seemed, I don't know. I just see, am I off base? Do you think I'm off base? Call me crazy if I am.
No. I think it is very, very different to say, like, you know, it's easy now to start to forget because so many new live action things are coming. But like live action Star Wars television, like Mandalorian was huge and it was going to be huge. And I think everybody probably had a hint of like this baby Yoda is going to be pretty good for the bottom line. And then that, you know, was, I think, beyond expectation. Like, of course, the animated show is, you know, not going to be his headline.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially with the Marvel stuff coming on out. So. Mm-hmm. That shows me they might have some time to just continue to do what they have set out to do. What do we look forward to the most, Joseph, about a second season?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I really love that Bad Batch feels like it is telling kind of two stories. It's, you know, what happens to Omega in the Bad Batch ultimately, and, you know, what is this era in Star Wars like through these characters' eyes? So I'm really, really excited to just see those two stories continue to develop, you know, of learning more about this era in time, just spending quality time with the characters. Like, I think that there are some episodes that are like, yeah, no, this is a fun adventure and it's not moving a big plot forward, but it's showing us about the world and it's just having these characters develop as people. And I'm happy with episodes that are like big and revelatory, and I'm happy with episodes where just like I just spent some quality time with my friends the clones. So I'm kind of happy for those things. Then other specific things that I'm looking forward to is so I'm still hopeful that of finishing Boba Fett's Clone Wars arc, the planned, you know, the kid bounty hunter trying to make his way, puts on the armor and I think takes out Cad Bane and claims his mantle as the baddest bounty hunter in the galaxy of that era. I think that they can finish that story and still have it really be not take away focus from the main characters. I'm excited to see more about the formation of early Rebel cells, which I think they're just perfectly positioning themselves to do. Those are some season two possibilities. Last thing for me is, I think if there is a 3 or 4 season plan, and unless something goes horribly wrong, we're going to get it. I love the comfort of feeling like this show is going to answer all those fan questions we often have of like, okay, well, why aren't Tech and Wrecker on Yavin? Where did they end up? You know, is Omega anybody's importance parent? Like all those kind of fan questions that we get that sometimes new characters introduced. And then you're like, where the F's Jacen Syndulla? Like, there's something about this show that feels like it's going to tell the Bad Batch's story and we'll just know those things and that'll be it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great expectation or want to have. Expectation's a dangerous word.
But, a hope. I'll stick with a hope.
hope, a want, a desire, a hope indeed. Yeah, no, well said on all that. I think that the time that they've had to even explore things in this season with 16 episodes, I think I consider the Bad Batch a wonderful group of tour guides through the galaxy as it changes, but I feel satisfied from by their story, even though I do agree, hey, a little bit more character development on Echo for whatever that word. And believe me, that word, that term character development is thrown out a lot by folks that I think more is there than they'll give it credit for. But I also understand like a little more quality time with those characters. And but I still do feel this was Hunter's big story, Hunter's big season, and next season and beyond, they've made a decision. They're committed. A lot more information and answers are coming, like you said, and to have it kind of flow into those early days of the Rebellion is very exciting for me because I enjoy that story. I know a young Infest Nest mother, those kind of characters could show up for me. Maybe I'm just trying, I want Infest Nest in some programming somewhere. That might be it. So anyways, I'm looking forward to that. That's kind of my hopes, echoing what you said there.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of Echo, yeah, I mean, I feel like Echo's perspective is clear, and I'm hoping to see, spend more time with that perspective. And that could be really interesting because he seems to be the character who is leaning most toward, like, we should continue to be soldiers. The war isn't over. It's just being fought somewhere else. Let's go. And that could be just really interesting tension.
Yeah, interesting tension indeed. Well, we'll know soon enough, and we'll, of course, keep you updated when we get the release date for 2022. But I have a feeling you all know as well, and we'll just celebrate that. Speaking of celebrating, November, really, we celebrated Life Day with LEGO Star Wars and the holiday special. New one for a new era. But now we've got coming our way LEGO Star Wars Terrifying Tales that will start streaming on Disney Plus October 1st. Joseph, here's the very non-canon story, or at best canon adjacent pitch. It will be set after the rise of Skywalker and be based around Poe Dameron and BB-8 crash landing on Mustafar. And we have a hut there on Mustafar that has turned Mustafar into a Sith themed resort. Real life. And Vinay, of course, from Rogue One, we'll then share three creepy stories on a bit of a tour around Vader's castle, which is apparently now a resort. So Tony Hale will voice Vinay, of course, Arrested Development and Veep fame. Christian Slater from Cuffs fame will be on board as Ren. All right, Joseph, let's stop there and catch up. What do you think about all this?
Yeah, Christian Slater, famous for his cameo in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, if I'm not mistaken. That's the main place people know him from, right?
Absolutely.
So a big crossover between Star Trek and Star Wars right there.
yes. And finally, for me, the Arkansas Dave Rudabaugh Young Guns 2 connection. Finally, those two universes connected.
I'm very excited about this. There's so much in here that's really cool. I love these Lego shows. I love that they use canon and are, you know, they're canon accurate in terms of like the timeline and where people are and what's going on in different places, but then they're absolutely not canon. They're just like a fun spirit of Star Wars and just fun bit of comedy. Vinay returning is super great. I'm hoping for some bathing Vader jokes. He's just one of those characters in Rogue One who's like creepy cool, and then your mind just goes to jokes, right? Of like,
yeah,
so his job is like to interrupt Vader while he's bathing to tell him his next appointment has arrived in his creepy castle with no rails designed to intimidate people. Like there's just a lot of fun jokes to be had with Vinay. The hut is Grabala, who is from the Freemaker Adventures.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I didn't watch that, but I know that's your favorite Star Wars program ever, right?
I really do like the Freemaker Adventures. It's really successfully funny while still like having some great moments of like of depth and great family stuff. Grabala is voiced by Dana Snyder, who people will know from many, many animated shows. Dana's a pal. I've met him at Dragon Con, and he's done a couple of my live shows in Los Angeles, and it's fun to see him because he is just a wildly funny guy and brings that energy to Grabala the hut. So I'm excited for that, and it's such a great over the top idea that Mustafar would be like a Sith resort, and that kind of just fun joke of like, well, who would want to come there, because it's super terrifying. And that's interesting to me because that's all Lego stuff, right? But yeah. Then strip it of the Lego stuff, and it's very similar to the great Kevin Scott's comic series of Tales from Vader's Castle.
Yes.
Where people end up there and then hear spooky stories about it and all that kind of thing. So it's fun to see that same great idea, but with this real comedy spin from Lego.
Yeah. Lego does what they do so well. Even the choice of Tona Hale as Vinay, I'm with you. I'm very happy that character can continue in any way, shape, or form. It's just an interesting thing. But Tony Hale is so specific in his comedy sense. And I'm a fan. I love Arrested Development. I love Veep. And I love specifically him on those shows. So it's an interesting energy that he'll bring. We'll see if they go with kind of the Tony Hale we know or they change it some way. But I don't imagine it will. So I'm so intrigued by that and the stories. It'll just be fun. Similar to those comics indeed. And the main plot is Poe Dameron have to face his fears, stop an ancient evil, and return to his friends, which brings in this Christian Slater as Ren thing. We obviously know we have a little bit of more Ren storytelling thanks to the Charles Soule stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Vader stuff. So do you have any thoughts on that ancient evil and the Ren and what that might even, is there anything we can learn or pick up about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting to see, like, the Lego stuff almost always has a heart, even within the jokes, right? So it's really consistent with a lot of Star Wars, and especially Star Wars that's explicitly made for a younger or a family-friendly audience. That, like, the Life Day special is like, okay, you expect even more of that kind of heartwarming because it's a holiday special, right? But that really did wrestle with, you know, what Rey's actual fears and concerns would be. So I'm kind of excited to see, like, is this some like a heartwarming, family friendly Poe works through the trauma
right.
of everything he's been through, and it is like the dark side, the castle trying to drag him down and make him doubt the New Republic.
Yeah, then he returns to his friends, renewed.
Yep.
So, yeah, the holiday special was well-received, and so it's safe to assume more of these will be on the way. So I'm asking this question. This somewhat sounds, it's a bit of a, it could be taken as a negative question. I don't mean it that entirely, but this and the holiday special are both post Rise of Skywalker. Like you said, they do have heart to them, and we can kind of see, well, hey, maybe this could be what they could explore, Rey, training Finn, all those kind of things that we saw in the holiday one. So how long will we be happy with this being the only post Rise of Skywalker material?
I will be happy for quite a while. There's a part of me that wants more stories of Rey, Finn, Poe, Rose, almost everybody, BB-8, everybody, yep. Larma Daisy. Yeah. There's a part of me that just wants it almost more than anything. But that part is controlled by massive amounts of Jedi patience. I still think the way they're describing it, I think the movie Rogue Squadron is going to be post Rise of Skywalker. So that'll be some interesting galaxy building stuff. But the reason that I think I can have some Jedi patience is, I just want to give it time to breathe, And I don't want a bunch of canon stories that end up Lego's fine. This is great. But like, I don't want a series of novels that then become in a couple of years, oh, they're going to do movies. And now those novels are secondary Legends 2.0. Like, I don't want that. I just want to let it breathe. I mean, just think about it this way in terms of patience, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I've done my math correctly. We are about 4 years out from the 10th anniversary of The Force Awakens. Right. The slate of Star Wars stuff that's been announced, the other movies, like we're not that far away from when the people who grew up with the sequel trilogy, the nostalgia is going to kick in hard.
Yeah.
And they're going to be the people with starting to have kids and starting to have some cash that they want to spend on nostalgia. The actors will have moved on and tried some other things. And then they'll kind of look back and go, maybe I'd revisit it. In the grand scheme of things, we're not that far away from those times that are going to come.
Yeah. You're doing that. This is farther away from that thing, and it always hurts. It hurts all of us in the soul, you know. we are farther away from Phantom Menace than Phantom Menace was from Return of the Jedi.
And it, sometimes I wake up on Twitter and just like, it should be outlawed to say what year movies came out. Just stop it. Yeah, like, just stop. So I understand. I don't mean to freak anybody out, but
yeah.
But just that, I think just that really having some patience with that perspective of that is the way of things, of everything shiny and new becomes old. And a lot of the arguments fall away and things change, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we're going to get to that place with the sequel era characters. And there's a part of me that's just like, let's just wait, not that surprisingly long, and it'll be a huge thrill when somebody wants to do a Disney Plus series or a movie or whatever.
Yeah, no, I love what you're saying, because it's a little bit of counseling for myself, where I don't think we're gonna, you know, I wouldn't expect Oscar Isaac and Boyega and Daisy Ridley to come back anytime soon, if at all, right? I know the real world of that. I know the thoughts there, and I as a fan sometimes just want to, you know, I do love the answers as much as we talk about themes and how Star Wars affects our lives and resonates inside all of us. I also just want to know what happened. And these give me just enough of a taste, the holiday special, specifically the stuff with Rey, where I think it works. It helps me pause and helps the patience kind of flow in. Let me open my mind to the patience. If it's like, oh, here's where we are right now. And you're right. You're so right. I mean, I joke about that 10-year anniversary number, but like, you know, if you just do the math, if someone was 13 when they watched Force Awakens, they're approaching 20 and their view on Star Wars might have changed. They might have left it behind, or they might be like us and starting their own podcast or waiting. and 10 years from now, man, Rey comes back at all. And anyway, it's going to be amazing. And so I'm good with the patience, and I'll be content with these little fun, playful looks at what could happen after.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love Halloween spooky time. So I'm thrilled. I'm so excited for this.
There we go. Coming your way. October 1st, the Lego Star Wars Halloween special, Star Wars, Terrifying Tales. Final news story, a bit of a sad story, but we have to pay our respects. As a lot of people know, on July 28th, Jonathan Rinzler, passed away from pancreatic cancer. He was only 58, author of over 25 books, including the Star Wars limited comic series for Dark Horse, which is spectacular. I just talked about it on Spotlight Star Wars not too long ago. If you haven't picked it up, it's just a fun look at what could have been and what was there and what was taken from it to build the Star Wars we know and love. He also wrote two episodes of Clone Wars. The season 6 arc, The Disappeared, had his words in it there. And Rinzler, of course, was most known as the man behind the making of books, first released in 2007. He also wrote a great one about Indiana Jones. And I'm going to get my hands on. I don't have that one there. Described by everyone as kind and contemplative, which you can see in listening to him talk. You can kind of get that feel. Rinzler started Lucasfilm in 2001. Joseph, sad news indeed, but let's celebrate that legacy. Any thoughts on J.W. Rinzler?
Yeah, absolutely sad news, but also just what a great life and career to celebrate, and what a great contribution to Star Wars. I think the statements released by both Lucas and Filoni had some great sort of attributing Star Wars values to him. Filoni in particular said, like, you know, pass on what you have learned is one of the great teachings of Jedi. And man, did Rinzler do that. Of like, he is in some ways like he was the real life keeper of the sacred Jedi texts, right? Of finding, you know, being made aware of some of these documents and really, really pulling them together and putting them down for the ages on those big making of books. So I think that is a huge thing to be celebrated. Mm-hmm. I have not done a deep dive on those making of books, which I would really, really like to at some point. But man, I did not realize, or maybe I knew at some point and forgot, but I did not know he wrote that Disappeared Clone Wars arc. And I love that arc. I think that is one of the really unique arcs that's got a ton of fascinating stuff. I can't wait until we eventually get to it in our Clone Wars show, Clone Wars Report, because it's like one of the greatest examples of a Star Wars buddy comedy.
Yeah.
Of Mace Windu and Jar Jar Binks. It expands the possibilities of who Jar Jar is, of like, he's got a kind of lady friend from a different planet, and they actually interact with the Force and have a totally different relationship to it. Like, there's a ton of incredibly interesting stuff in those two episodes, as well as just having being a fun, weird Star Wars buddy comedy. So, man, I love that. And I cannot wait to read his final book that's coming out very soon. I'm going to pre-order it about Howard Kazanjani. It's called Howard Kazanjani, A Producer's Life. And I was reading that he got a rare interview from Marsha Lucas.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know a lot about the ups and downs of the original trilogy, but I don't think I've ever really heard kind of the story of Howard. So I'm super excited to read that.
Yeah, the man who was already kind of working around Star Wars stuff, but kind of essentially replaced Gary Kurtz for Return of the Jedi, which was an interesting thing. I'm looking forward to that as well. Yeah, and Rinzler wrote a novel or two, so he wasn't just a collector of archives and turned them into great books. He did, which, by the way, no easy task. I want to make sure you're clear about that. He did a lot, and I can't wait to review those episodes as well. Yeah, the making ofs, I don't actually own those, but it's so funny. I feel I do because I have a lot of friends that own those books, and the Return of the Jedi one was in the Collider writer's room, and I can't tell you how many days I was not working. I just was thumbing through that book. Oh yeah.
Now the truth can be told.
Yeah, there's the reasons. Spectacular stuff. What a career. And again, beyond even just the words that he wrote and the books he put out, to hear his colleagues talk about him, kind came up every time. Pablo Hidalgo tweeted something out too about the loss, the massive loss that it is. So it's sad news, but we have an entire catalog of work to celebrate that makes our fandoms just better. And he raised the standards of those making of books, which is something that's, again, no small feat. So J.W. Rinzler, Jonathan Rinzler, thank you so much. Rest in peace, my friend. That is our hearts go out to your family here from Force Center.
Absolutely.
All right, we are almost going to get to our questions today, but before we do that, as always, we want to recommend an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, what do you have?
We are recommending Out of the Shadows by Justina Ireland. It is the next book in the High Republic series, and we're going to be talking about it soon, so if you want to be all caught up, you can check it out on Audible.
Check it out. Download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, your questions here on ForceCenter.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, 4 Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4 Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Welcome back to 4 Center, the big show, the main show, the superstar destroyer of our fleet. Joseph, it's time for some questions. A bit of a change this week.
That's right. We knew that we had just a ton of news to cover. So this week we don't have our Twitter questions. I also need to put out a new request to get some more Twitter questions flooding in there. So this week we just have 2 questions from our patrons on Patreon. But do not fear, our Twitter questions will be back next week. So with that little programming note, let's dive into our questions. Our first one is from Alden Diaz, kind patron and Star Wars thinker and talker himself. Here's what Alden has to say. Given your backgrounds as comedians on the stage and on the page, I'm curious about who you think would thrive as a stand-up in the Star Wars galaxy. So here's the idea. You're booking a comedy show. What Star Wars establishment is it taking place in, and who's on the list of performers? Is there any reason why you'd choose these people together? Is it a night of A-listers? Are you comparing them in your mind? Any real-life comedians? Go nuts, my friends. Also, just as a quick real-life side question that I've always wondered, do you prefer the title of comedian or comic? Are they different? All right, let's tackle the real life question first, Ken. How do you feel about the difference between comedian and comic?
There is a difference. It's so weird. I get angry. I've had to stop myself. I get angry, as a lot of people have heard. I do use that word skit in front of me. I grind my teeth. It's a sketch. All right, and I've had to back off because life is more important than determining what words is correct. But I did my days as a sketch comic. I was not a skit comic. That's what church groups do. All right. Preschool talent shows. But I think there's a difference for me. I think I prefer comedian, but I also I'll take comedian or comic over stand up. You're a stand up. I'm not going to throw you out of the Uber for any one of those.
Yeah. So you got some book state to do some stand up skits?
Yeah. Well, that's a Mark Ellis and I will text, when we're on the road, it'll be like, hey, I'm going to take a nap. Are you going to work on your little joke skits? And he'll be like, I am. So But yeah, that's my thing. But I prefer comedian. So Alden, please address me as Mr. Comedian. Thank you.
Mr. Saturday Night. The skit sketch thing, I think, is sometimes it's fine because it's just truly people don't know the difference. And sometimes even if people don't say little skit, you can hear the implied little in the way they say skit. And then that's a problem. Like, are you going to do one of your skits?
That's the core of the reason. It is little with an apostrophe. Little skit.
Little skits is
before it all.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a couple thoughts on this. For me, I land more on comedian. And I think that's partially because I have done a lot of different comedy. Everything from, doing comedic acting to being a writer who is writing comedy, which is you're still being a form of comedian, to doing storytelling that is comedic. So comedian for me is just kind of an overall improv sketch. It covers everything, right?
Yeah.
Stand up. Comedian covers everything. It's more varied, so it feels more accurate for like my interests and my life experiences. I also feel like comedian applies to improv, sketch, writer, whatever. But I feel like comic is generally culturally people consider that a stand-up.
Yeah.
Correct. You're a working comic. You're a stand-up, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're very right about that. Yeah.
I also feel like that there is a little bit like many things in life, the shorter, punchier word versus the longer word, a little bit of the tension versus, are you just down there, grinding, or are you taking yourself too seriously? I think there's a little bit of a comic comedian. You could have the same debate as movie versus film or comic book versus graphic novel, right? We have so many of these where there's like, you can absolutely discuss and there are absolutely for real differences, but there's also sometimes there's those tension of like, these words generally mean the same thing, but are you just being real casual about it or are you taking it seriously?
Yeah, when my mom uses it, it's not completely malicious. No, you're absolutely right. And not to turn this into a comedy theory center, but you and I, this is close to our heart. It is a great question before we answer it. But I'm proud of being a stand-up. I do like being a stand-up comic. But sometimes even that is, you can be looked down upon in some circles. Because when I used to do sketch comedy, we used to do a warm-up that was making fun of stand-ups. And at the time I remember being kind of snooty about it and they're like, oh, those silly stand-ups doing their what's the deal with jokes, and so then I started, then I got kicked out of the sketch world and then started stand-up and I was like, hey, wait a minute, you guys know they make fun of us in sketch worlds, which is all silly because it's all just people trying to communicate with the world, share their point of view and make people laugh.
It is just silly, but I have had that experience with sketch and improv, people fighting long form versus short form improv, people fighting stand up, hating all of them being judgy towards stand up, stand ups being judgy towards stand ups who don't really do stand up. It's storytelling. Storytellers being judgmental to storytellers who memorize versus who read their pieces, because of course one is better than the other. It's just kind of endless. Humans got to just get their bleep together, I'm saying here.
I had a substitute teacher at the Groundlings one day teaching us some improv, and I won't say his name, but he sat there in front of the class and he goes, all right, I'm going to teach him stuff. By the way, if you want to learn real improv, what are you doing here? Go over to the spot. And I was like, you're in the Groundlings. What are you doing?
The Groundlings, not real. It is endless. Yeah. So my final thought on this is like, it's thank you all for asking, because obviously we have a ton of thoughts, but it's just preference. And no matter what, people are going to have strong preferences, because I prefer comedian. I've definitely done some stand-up shows where the word is comic, your next comic is coming up, and I feel like I might have been thrown off the show if I had said, could you introduce me as the next comedian? I think I would have been thrown out of the show.
Yes
All right, great question. There's our long answer to just your sub question, Alden. So how long is our real answer gonna be? Man, yeah. Ken, do you want to go first on your venue and lineup thoughts for Star Wars comedy show?
Sure, absolutely. I'm going to go. I got a lineup in place and we'll see here. But there's different kind of venues. So I've chosen Chalmers Cantina and you might have some similar ones too, Joseph. Chalmers Cantina, Canto Bight and Brightree Village represent three stand up comic shows. And to be honest, like I'm focusing on kind of that end here. I have been to the real world version of doing shows at Chalmers, and I know you have as well, Joseph, where you walk in and you're like, we shouldn't be here.
I had to flee at Chalmers at one point, my friend and I, because we felt it was no longer safe.
I walked in with my old roommate. He was headlining. I was supporting him. We go to a bar out in Corona where we were booked at a comedy show that they had weekly, by the way. We walk in and everyone turns around and the manager, a woman runs around the corner. And she goes, wait, are you guys the comics? And we went, yeah. And she goes, it's okay, everybody. They're the comics. And we were inching back towards the door.
Because otherwise, strangers ain't welcome around here.
Strangers ain't welcome, especially looking like you in your pretty Hollywood shirts. It was a thing, man. It was Pee Wee walking into that biker bar and screaming, I'm trying to use the phone. So there's those kind of shows. I did a show up in Palmdale, California at a bar that I've made references before in shows. It was closed down a week after because they had a double homicide there for the second time. And they shut the place down and the comedy show.
Someone pulled a blaster on Obi-Wan is what happened.
Yes. So there's Chalmers Cantina. Cantabite is like going to a casino, a little different crowd. You're kind of worried. Are they going to laugh? Are they going to get your references? And then Brightree Village is like that new spot post-war, post-fall of the Empire, where maybe the Ewoks are trying to open up, maybe get a little tourism. You know, come see the site of the end of the war, the main end of the war, and then you could open up a club on Jakku later on. But where it's like kind of new, and you're wondering who the booker is, and you're like, who's running Brightree? Anyone here? Anyone know who's running Brightree? It's a new spot. I want to go to a new market.
Brightree also seems a little bit like an indie spot, you know, and those exist everywhere, but like certainly in Los Angeles too. When I first moved here, there was like any restaurant you pass is like, they probably got a back room that somebody's doing comedy in.
Yeah, those rooms where I'm like, I want to fit in there, but I don't, which is weird because I don't fit in the other spot.
So, you'd fit in fine.
Brightree Village. So those are my venues. I don't know if you want to launch. I can go into the lineup if you want. Sir.
Yeah, no, we'll trade off on venues. Yeah, this is always a fun question for me because I want to answer lots of fun venues. But the truth is the vast majority of like public places we see where people would believably perform stand-up comedy are absolute nightmare venues where your show will go horribly and you're not physically safe. Chalmers, hell gig, right? Outlander Club might look fancy. They might pay you good money, but no one is there for that at all. Jabba's Palace, that's a trap. Right. Yeah. They claim you want that. But, you know, I was even thinking like Dryden Voss's yacht of like, oh, man, that would be like we've hired, you know, a real headliner. That would be where a headliner has a terrible gig because it's just there to look classy and look entertaining. But, you know, half of them are drunk. Half of them are like imperials that you can't say the wrong thing or they're going to shoot you. Yeah. Almost every actual venue in Star Wars is a nightmare. So I thought of Brightree Village as well.
Okay, great.
Because it's a place where particularly like in a larger, you know, banquet space, a banquet tree. But like where we see 3PO tell that story, like that's actually a good room, right? Because it's
great room.
It's warm. It's focused. The point of the room is to look at somebody else and listen.
Yes.
And that's what you need. So Brightree Village. And then this is my way out of the box one is I was thinking about like, none of the bars or criminal gangster places, they have stages, but no one's actually going to give you their full focus. So it's like, where in Star Wars is designed for people to sit and listen to the speaker, the performer? I want to lower the lights. I want to maybe add some curtains. And I want to do stand-up in the Home One meeting room.
Oh, that's great. That's a good one.
Right. Because you got the seating. It's a little bit of a thrust stage. It's curved, which is great energy for comedy. So the performer is separated, but it is also still kind of among you. So it just feels much more intimate.
Yeah. Oh, that's like a cruise ship, but a better version of it. Right.
Yeah. And then Canto Bight. Yeah, for sure. We did see we haven't seen it, but there's some huge Vegas stage. And that would be fun, too, because that's like big performing is a theatrical event.
Yeah.
But yeah, intimate stand-up, Home One or Brightree Village.
Love it. Yeah, love that there. Okay, and the Outlander Club. The Outlander Club, I once did a show in Huntington Beach during the NBA Finals, and we got there, and the bar manager turned off the game and told everyone there it's time for comedy.
I did that once, too, but they just turned off the sound on a baseball game, and it was still playing. behind me while I had to make philosophical jokes about the meaning of life.
Yeah. So yeah, Outlander scared me too. Yeah, great. The home one. Because, you know, that's a gig that they're like, they know the tension of the you know, it's almost like a USO in a way. Like, let's bring in some rebel members, and we're gonna entertain you with some comedy stylings.
Exactly, because that's the other thing is, like, comedy should happen when it's wanted, when it's needed. Like, I know a lot of people, like Road Warriors in particular, they have a skill set and it's amazing. It's a talent to turn a room, to go like, I know you think you didn't want to hear comedy, but I'll get you. But yeah. I so much prefer, you know, performing for an audience is like, I came here on purpose because I need to release some tension. And this is what I want, is to hear some jokes.
Yeah, I could seriously talk comedy with you for hours because it's just you're just making me laugh and it wonderful, insightful stuff. And then to turn it to Star Wars is a great comedy.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So let's get back to Star Wars. So what's your lineup?
All right. And I, as always, the danger of crossover is fine. But like, it's like, you know, I'm one booker and you're another booker. So you might have some same comics over there. I would start with, and no, I'm not saying a running order yet, but I would start with Leia, obviously. And Carrie Fisher herself talking about one woman shows and just being a comedian in her own right. I mean, really, in every sense of that word, whether or not she was a typical stand up or not, doesn't matter to me. She's so funny and so witty. So you imagine that translates to Leia. You and I were talking about it a lot recently, like Leia, like that Last Jedi era Leia, where she's slapping Poe and a little more just kind of, you know, doesn't care, is going to say what she needs to say. Like, I think that'd be a fun Leia comic version there.
Oh yeah.
Then we'll go to Beckett. Beckett is the old road warrior. His jokes are probably not going to stand up. He might cause some eyeballs to roll, and maybe some people to be like, those don't work anymore. But he's just that road dog, like you said, that's going to be there. And but he's at the end of the rope. He's just going through the motions. But I want to see what he's got to say. And then I have Lando. Now, Lando, I'm thinking particularly young Donald Glover Lando. And now Donald Glover, genius in his own right in terms of comedy. We know that. But Lando there, and I am the biggest Lando fan in the world, right? You know I love Lando, the character. But Lando is that comic that maybe isn't as genius as he thinks he is. But he's got some good bits. But man, does he love to talk.
I was going to say, Lando is that perfect person who is legitimately cracks up his friends because he's really funny and charming when it's just a rambling conversation. Yep. But then he goes on stage and his story has no structure. He's not good on transitions. It's just him rambling about crap that happened to him. And it's really funny when you're just sitting and hanging out with him, but it is not structured as a performance.
Man, I do a lot of shows with people like that. And he's funny. And he gets by on his energy and personality. So you want him on the show, maybe early, because he's going to get people loose. He's going to, you know, take some food from their table and a joke and have some fun. And people are going to like him. They're not necessarily going to laugh at him, but they're going to like him, and it's going to be fun. So then from there, we go to Chopper. Maybe with some translating, screens up there. Chopper being just that cynical, not quite Lewis Black ranting comic, but just the one who's just kind of so cynical and maybe self-loathing enough, but also confident enough to tell the jokes and energy there as well. And then I don't think they need to be a duo. I'm certainly not slotting one slot for two wonderful characters, but the idea of Rose Tico and Cato Conix being these comics, and I've seen some duo teams that are really good in my days, ones that no one has even heard. But what I like about them is I think they could both be, Billy Lord herself is great. And Kelly Marie Tran comes from a comedy background too as well. But the characters are those characters that I even see myself and you and I, Joseph, different styles of upbringing, even comedy, but kind of the same focus of we were the ones in the back of the room not getting the attention. And this is how we talk and communicate with the world. And we have a lot to say on it. And Rose Tico and Cato Conix being in the background, especially Rise of Skywalker, I'm thinking where they're like, man, yeah, we got some thoughts. You want to hear them? And they're pretty fun.
Yes, absolutely. I think they would be great.
So, and then my final one here is Luke Skywalker from Octo.
Oh, yeah. Is he the headliner?
He's the headliner. He's the old grizzled guy. He's got a lot of stories. You're going to know him. You remembered him from his run in the 70s and 80s. You remember that guy? but he's got some different takes and different stories. You know, just think of that, you know, where are you from? Jakku. Well, that is nowhere. That kind of energy, that kind of Luke, telling some stories, taking you through a little bit of storytelling more than comedy at this point in his career. But he's going to get by and then Hamill himself being kind of witty and cheeky, kind of, you know, I don't mind that. The Luke that brushes the crate dirt off his force projected shoulders is also a little of the energy I'm looking for. And he brings it home and he closes the show.
Oh, no, that is a great, great lineup and a little bit of overlap, but I think portioned out differently here. But man, I love Luke. Yeah, because he could definitely like let you in behind the scenes. He's like that famous person who has like a lot of great bits about what really happened on the set of this amazing, funny movie that you love. Like, you want to know what it was really like? I'll tell you. Take a big slug of my green milk and then I'll tell you what it was really like.
Oh, definitely has some green milk on stage with him.
For sure. He's dribbling on his robes. So I think for me, as sort of MC host, I got Finn. I think
that's great.
Finn would do great crowd work. Finn has, especially like by the end of Rise of Skywalker, when he's like, he's all in and he knows that, you know, what he wants to do is help everybody stand positive, staying together. He, you know, it can get so annoying at stand up shows when you're like, you know, hey, is everybody excited? That didn't sound very excited. Like, clap, put your hands together, you know, keep it going, keep it going. Like, Finn would be able to do the keep it going in a sincere way.
Yeah.
And we'd be able to use the force to feel, literally interpret from the audience and feel if he needed to say keep it going or like, they're actually quite excited. I don't need to say keep it going anymore.
That's a great, if Finn is a host, that's perfect. That's great.
Yeah. He'd have a couple of good jokes. He'd be working them out, but he'd be so great at crowd work. He'd be really good at like sincerely doing the like, you know, so where are you from? Yeah. You know, how was the food really? And just having like some light, fun banter with the audience. Yeah. Then I think the opener for me is Shriv.
Oh, God, I forgot about Shriv. Oh, that's great.
Because he's a little cynical, but not like super dark, not like, ooh, we're actually worried about you. You know, he's going to be super relatable, right? He's going to be telling you about like, you know, the weird infection he got in his crotch from his flight suit, you know, and just like, yeah, Bacta doesn't do anything for that. You know, yeah. He'd be getting a lot of good laughs. And then I'd throw in some weird acts. I think Lobot would do this, not really a stand-up set, but he would do a mime act where he played music and then he pretended to sing, but it was like big and exaggerated and weird.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
And this actually came to mind because it's actually how Jerry Lewis's career started. He didn't want to speak on stage, so he would do this bit where he'd bring like a record player on stage and he would like play opera music and then like super over the top act it out and like collapse and have his tongue stuck out of his mouth and have to put it back in. And Lobot would do bit like that.
I love that. I love that.
And then I realized I didn't have a Road Warrior. I had to add it while we were talking. I think the Road Warrior that I would add, the one who would just be like, I don't care what mood you're in, I'm going to make you laugh, is a Greef Karga.
Oh, that's great. Greef and Beckett. That's a great tour doing a lot of casinos in the Midwest.
Right. And I think Greef would barely have jokes. He would just kind of yell at you about the way it is from his perspective. Right. Like, you think those are good shoes? Those shoes are terrible. Am I right? Look at those shoes. Look, this person thinks these shoes are good. They all hate your shoes. He would just, absolute Road Warrior. Yeah. I'd throw 3PO up there for a few minutes to do anti-comedy, you know, comedy that is so bad it's good.
Yep.
For just a minute. And then I would close with Leia. Leia would be my headliner. I love your Luke take. And that's a great switch up. But, you know, every time we've got any question even remotely like this, like Leia to me in universe is the obvious headliner. She is laser focused, super fast, super intelligent. One of the greatest characters to mix a snark and hope. Mm-hmm. So like she doesn't leave you like depressed and devastated.
Yeah.
But you know, she tells you like it is from her perspective. And you know, I think she's a character who can absolutely provide catharsis. And that's my favorite comedy, is when you go to a dark place for the explicit point of bringing joy, of this great alchemy of comedy that can turn a bad thing into a good thing. That when you can truly share, like, here's this awful thing that happened to me or this awful thing in the world, and I'm not making light of it. I am generating catharsis by just looking at it, admitting it, and releasing its power over me by poking fun at it and having it suddenly become a joyful thing because everybody's laughing about it, you know? It, yeah. That is, to me, the ultimate goal of comedy, and Leia's so primed to do that.
You so well stated. Yeah, absolutely. Carrie Fisher in real life, and Leia, she's been through some things.
Yeah, she's got some, like, you can't joke about it, but here's my Alderaan joke.
Yeah.
Like...
I get over here. You know, it's real horrible to lose your family that way, but think of the funeral costs I saved. It's a great way to look. You know, I'm sure she could go down that path.
She's got a bunch of great jokes of, like, yes, you know, I was married to a person. None of you have ever heard of him. That right there gets a laugh because they all know she's talking about Han, right? And she goes, nothing, no truth is spared about her life with Han.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
Anyway, great question, Alden.
Oh man, I love. Yeah, it's just that's a great intersection of things we love and have experienced.
Yes.
Welcome. Every comic archetype you're talking about, I'm picturing faces and names.
Yes. Yep. Alden also asked about comparing them to real life comedians, but I think you could probably intuit some of those probably should move on to our next and final question. Any more thoughts, Ken?
No, other than that's going to be a 4-hour podcast, Four Center docuseries, comedy at Star Wars.
Yeah. Oh, great. Great. Looking forward to that. Our final question comes from Joshua Thorne. Joshua says, when they eventually do a The Last Jedi from a certain point of view book, how many stories would you hope to have based off of the opening sequence? Just imagine a Captain Kennedy story, a story in the head of Paige Tico, one from the TIE fighter pilot that crashed into the first bomber. They could do the entire book just on those first 15 minutes. This is a great, great question. Very fun to imagine. And if, Ken, they continued the From a Certain Point of View books being a celebration of the 40th anniversary, we can look forward to this book in 2057.
Ooh, yeah, I just took out a life insurance policy today. I'll be there.
Yes, I will love this book if I'm alive. I just want to be alive. That's all I want.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on this, though? In a theoretical Last Jedi from a certain point of view book, are you excited to see different perspectives of that opening scene, and what do you want?
Yeah, no, Joshua, this is a great question because you dig in, you can make the joke of, you know, the New Hope one spent, you know, pages upon pages in the cantina, but as it should have, there's just every corner has a story. And I was focusing on that opening sequence. It's definitely one of my favorite in Star Wars and a lot of folks. And there's a lot of stories, a lot of perspectives in that and what it means. So, you know, for me, I'm a big fan of Tally Lintra. I've talked about that before. That'd be great to, you know, the farm girl that joined the battle and get her thoughts and get her story there is one as well. I think Captain Peavy standing next to Hux, you know, what a story. It's probably similar to Captain Kennedy. He probably has some shared notes with Captain Kennedy. that one will work, and then a couple ones I'm sure I want to
sorry, what? Just imagine the Captain PV one being called I think he's tooling
with you. Oh, that'd be great. I put PZ4CO. I know PZ is a character you droid you love too, so I don't know.
Yeah,
connect. And then two for me. Three, sorry, I'm just gonna list all the names, but Vober Dan in there. I'm going to put the bomber whose name I refuse to know, but it's actually Nix Jerd because I missed that question in a big schmodown and got eliminated kind of off that one a little bit. That's the bomber you see for just a short amount of time before Paige has to step on up there. So a little bit of that story there. And then the final one for me, I know what you think about this, but could be on your list too, but Snoke.
Ooh.
I think you'd hold Snoke out for probably a little bit later, but there's something about Snoke in that moment that intrigues me.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of great choices. In that opening scene, I think one of the characters that I would be intrigued from to hear from is one of the other crew members on that dreadnought, right? Mm-hmm. There's been some good moments of those of really understanding like what people think they're involved in. And I can imagine like a really great tragic story of like a young crew member who really thinks like, this is it. The First Order is totally correct in their, you know, ideology that I've been fed. And this is the moment where we're going to wipe them out and, you know, everything's going to be great. I'm going to be the guy who gets to push the button and then realizing that it's all gone horribly south.
I've made a huge mistake.
The other big Last Jedi one, which follows a lot from Empire Strikes Back, is I truly want the Thal Siren's perspective.
Oh, yeah.
Like what is the Thal Siren sitting thinking about when just sitting there sunning themselves?
Yeah.
Hey, take the milk if you want. That's cool by me. I don't care.
Turns out it's more sensitive and is a Jedi. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and of course the Lene caretakers, their pirate husbands coming home for their whatever it is party. I can't remember how often, if it's monthly or every once a year. Definitely want to hear from the pirate Lene. Yeah, so a lot of great options. So very exciting to think about all these years from now, where maybe they'll move it up to a 10th anniversary book for Last Jedi.
Yeah, might as well. Get it out there. Content.
Yeah, content. It's all coming. More and more content. Those are the questions this week. Like I said, we'll be back to our full complement of four questions and getting those Twitter questions next week as well.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that. Great stuff. Man, we'll be talking about comedy off air for hours now about the Grief Karga set. Great stuff. A lot of fun. If you want to find us or connect, we are on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're available on Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn. Don't forget Amazon Music and Spotify. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Patreon.com/ForceCenter is where you can support us directly. And through there, we'll have information shortly on how to get your hands on that wonderful commemorative poster, exclusive poster coming your way to celebrate the 1,000th. It's a hard word to say. 1,000th. 1,000th total broadcast. We even recorded and I was having trouble saying it on the broadcast. Episode.
Spoilers. I fumbled it. And then I heard you say 1,000 episodes instead of 1,000th episode. It's like, he's so smart to just say 1,000 episodes instead of 1,000th episode, which is quite hard to say.
Just shout out numbers, just numbers. But anyways, that exclusive poster designed by Brian Ward is going to be available through Patreon. We'll have more information soon. We got our own stuff going on as well. You can follow me at Ken Knapsack or kennapsack.com. We always like to highlight things we love to plug in. Be the Match is something that I'm a part of as well. That is the registry where you can become a bone marrow donor. It's something that's still very much needed. Go to bethematch.org for more information about becoming a donor or how to support. Joseph.
Yeah, you can find me Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. Still having a ton of fun sharing some of my many action figures on there and poking some fun at my beloved action figures. If you're interested in other comedy adventures, my podcast Obsessed, links to comedy albums, all that kind of stuff, it's on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. And the thing that I would like to advocate for today is a resource called AmericanForest.org, an organization called AmericanForest.org. They do a lot to promote just planting some more trees, which helps our world. But in particular, they've got this program called Tree Equity, and it's this great study and taking action on what a difference trees make in urban environments and how a lot of times it isn't really equitable where trees are and what a big difference they make to the health of the city, to the health of the people in the neighborhood. To me, it is something I care about a lot in real life, and it just is so Star Wars. It is using nature to make life better for everyone, so I like it a lot. Check out AmericanForest.org.
Love that. Well said, sir. Good organization.
Excellent.
All right, my friends, that is Force Center for this week. We'll be back with a deep dive and look for episode 1,000th coming your way very shortly. So for all the comics, making it happen and making laughs in the galaxy, we'll see you next time here on Force Center.
Oh, Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.